You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
You know what topic we haven't discussed in a long time? Backup. Yeah, you heard me right. Backup. And, you know, for the last 2 years, we've been talking about pandemic. We've been talking about security, cybersecurity, risk. We've been talking about all those things. And don't get me wrong, it's been really important that we have those discussions. But today's guest is going to kind of take us in a slightly fresh and new direction, at least in terms of the MSP Zone podcast. And we're going to be talking about kind of a current conversation around backup and storage and business continuity and all of those things aimed not just at the end user as a service, but also the benefits to the internal workings of a managed services organization today. So I think it's a really fantastic and exciting conversation. There's so many new MSPs out there coming, you know, into the market, new to the MSP Alliance, new to the MSP Zone. So I think that this is going to be a really good good conversation to have. And like I said, we haven't done it for a while. So I'd like to welcome Steve Roden, CEO of StoragePipe, to the program. Welcome, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Charles. Really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, you know, we've been talking like 24 hours a day for 2 years on cybersecurity issues. And it's not like storage has been, you know, edged to the side. And it's not like people aren't doing storage anymore, but it just seems like, you know, we need to make sure we're talking about all the elements of the security and operational viability stack. Before we get into that, but there could be, you know, people out in the audience, MSPs, who are not familiar with StoragePipe. You might give us a quick rundown of you guys, your history, and what you guys do.
Sure, absolutely. So StoragePipe, we've been focused on cloud and data protection services, specifically backup as a service and disaster recovery as a service, for the better part of over 20 years. And our focus is really around, you know, helping our partners and MSPs deliver those services to their end customers. So, you know, we're working with partners, working with resellers a lot right now around their, you know, their backup and disaster recovery strategies that they can put in place for end customers. And, you know, we work with customers across North America and partners across North America delivering those services. You know, I mentioned, I think before, Charles, maybe we've talked in the past, you know, about have our, you know, our data centers both in Canada, the United States, and in the UK. So we kind of have, you know, covered that breadth in terms of what we do. And the big thing we're looking at with MSPs is really delivering an exceptional partner program, one where we can have, you know, let partners develop both, you know, opportunities with us. And we work with partners a lot to kind of work on more complex deals in the backup and disaster recovery space.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of anticipated my question, which was, you know, been around for ages, which is awesome, but it sounds like you're really now starting to cultivate your MSP relationships. How's that going so far?
It's going really well, actually. We've been growing a lot with MSPs and partner programs. The partner program we've developed and enhanced over the last couple of years has really started to take off. You know, you talked about the last couple of years around the pandemic and cybersecurity. Well, backup and recovery has certainly not been slowing down. We've seen a tremendous demand amongst the market and from our partners for more and more, you know, backup and disaster recovery services and how that ties in with cybersecurity and protection for customers. So we've introduced, you know, new features of our partner program, like deal registration, a new partner portal we launched, new training programs for partners. And we've really just enhanced that and made it a lot easier for partners to transact with us, work with us, and also do things like co-marketing with us. So we've started to invest with our partners in more lead generation programs, marketing programs, to really get the message out that disaster recovery as a service is sort of that next layer that they should be looking at.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I'd like to circle back maybe a little bit later on, you know, the types of partners you're recruiting, we're currently working with, and all that. But I want to kind of jump right into some of these questions, because I think they're really, really important. And I hope this hasn't happened, which is that I hope we haven't taken our eye off the ball of what I would call the fundamentals of being a good MSP. Starting first and foremost, you know, I think that 10 years ago, you know, we certainly saw storms, natural disasters. You saw business continuity events, the like of, which are mostly like power outages, connectivity outages, maybe some natural disasters like a storm or a earthquake in you know, West Coast and other parts of the world. But now, you know, pandemic has taken over as kind of the de facto, you know, kind of testing platform that we all test on for business continuity. Could you give us your perspective about the role of backup in that larger business continuity framework?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we've seen with backup as a service is that it's moving, you know, beyond the servers in your office, certainly, or the servers in your data centers. You know, during the pandemic, we saw the growth of protection for endpoints. So, you know, a lot more people working from home. So more backup of, you know, systems that were residing in all different places in all different locations, tying in with the corporate network. So that was certainly something that grew. We also saw and are seeing tremendous growth in backup for Microsoft 365 as more and more organizations have moved to that. And that's accelerated during the pandemic, certainly. So we're seeing more and more protection for that platform, as well as other SaaS platforms. And the movement to public cloud as well. So backup has really evolved from, you know, to a hybrid model, right? It's really moved to a combination of public cloud, private cloud, on-prem, endpoint protection, and SaaS applications. And so that's where we kind of, you know, help a lot. You know, we see a lot of different, you know, customers, partners who have those and are moving in those directions that want to take advantage of working with us on across that hybrid sort of world.
Yeah, I staying on the business continuity side, I suspect and I hope that MSPs are taking full advantage of educating customers on what they should be doing, the customer should be doing to be fully prepared for a business continuity event of any type. And I think you've made a good case for why backup should be part of that. I would like to turn to the internal business continuity preparation of the MSP itself. And one thing that I've noticed is that there is not a consistency across the board of backing up critical cloud applications. And I'll give you a good example. There's the belief that Microsoft 365 is fully backed up by Microsoft. And from an MSP standpoint, if you're handling mission critical information, certainly not just the email, but also in, you know, OneDrive or in SharePoint, that could be a really nasty, you know, wake up call for one day to find out, they actually don't back it up. What are your thoughts on that kind of misconception?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that is a misconception for sure. Microsoft does not, you know, back up the data, certainly not for any length of time either. And what we're seeing is, and as I mentioned, you know, Microsoft 365 backup services are one of our fastest growing areas, both amongst direct customers and amongst partners. And it's really driving a huge changeover, and customers are, you know, because they're moving to Microsoft 365, they're looking for applications, they're looking for ways of protecting that information. And it just keeps growing too, the amount of data and the amount of services that are running, you know, the applications that are running in the cloud just keeps growing. And so we're definitely seeing a trend there in terms of the need for that. And to address your point around, Microsoft specifically, you know, there's a shared responsibility model that Microsoft publishes, right? And you're responsible for your own data. And that shared responsibility model, you're responsible for your own data, and they are not. What Microsoft is responsible for is the availability of the platform. So that just means that, you know, the platform itself won't go down, but within the platform, the data is your own responsibility. And so, you know, customers need to really reflect on that, because, you know, end users can delete data. End users leave companies all the time, right? And then you know, they can be forgotten about and that data can be lost if someone isn't protecting it properly. And then there's also the long-term retention. We've seen a lot of, you know, customers, you know, compliance is a much bigger thing right now, whether it's, and just retaining data for, whether it's for HR reasons, for legal hold reasons, legal reasons, and just generally for retention of corporate information for, you know, posterity, you know, just to make sure that you can refer back to it. And so that in of itself is also critical when you're looking at backing up for Microsoft 365. And so we see customers, you know, holding data for long term, whether that's, you know, 10 years, 20 years, you know, indefinitely in terms of, you know, mailbox, as well as, you know, other applications like SharePoint, OneDrive, Teams, all that information is critical to retain.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And it's good to, it sounds like that's a fast growing area for you guys. So that tells me that the MSPs are paying attention.
Absolutely. It is a really fast growing area. And it's often a great, I mean, you know, to give advice, I guess, you know, to the MSPs out there, it's a great entry point for many, many customers, right? It's a good way of landing new customers. It's a good way of, it's a good add-on service if you're already working with a customer that's on Microsoft 365. So it's a great opportunity to show additional value to your customer base.
Yeah, I sometimes think, you know, we've been talking about backup and data storage for so long that, you know, you do, I fear, run the risk of people saying, okay, yeah, I know that. But I don't think that they do know it. I don't think they know it to the point where they're actually practicing what they preach. And I think that it's very easy, to your point, Steve, that an end user, a managed services customer, could be a perfect candidate for just talking to them about, look, do you really understand what the cloud means? And do you understand what is being backed up, what isn't being backed up, and how a ransomware event could really run your business into the ground fast if you're not prepared? And I think that those are really great conversation starters because they're true. They're based in reality.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think when I talk about, you know, and we talk about data protection to clients and to partners, it's always, you know, on the notion of it's a continuum, right? It's a spectrum of solutions. And, you know, you can all go all the way from, you know, file-based backup and recovery all the way up to full-scale disaster recovery, smoking hole kind of scenarios and everything in between. And what's important to talk to, you know, end customers about is where do they fall in that spectrum in terms of, you know, what's their recovery point objectives? What are their recovery time objectives? How much, you know, what does their budget allow for? But they want to be as protected as possible with what they can afford and what makes sense for their type of business. Because if they're highly transactional and they can't lose transactions at all, then you're going to need to be on that, you know, sort of higher end of that spectrum in terms of where you need more disaster recovery type services.
Yeah. Moving on to the issue of, you brought up data sovereignty. Our friends over in Europe, right, you know, many years ago, they threw a nasty, you know, hanging curveball at us called GDPR, right? And now everybody is talking about data sovereignty, data residency, you know, and the disclosure requirements that go along with that. I believe that's a good sign. You know, it's become part of the best practices of the MSP certification, you know, frameworks that are out there. What is your opinion on how does an MSP and by extension their customers approach issues such as data sovereignty, data residency pertaining to backup?
Yeah, well, we approach that through keeping data centers in, you know, multiple jurisdictions so that we can service, you know, and have customers and partners have data stored where they want it. And so sometimes that's for, bandwidth, like they want to be closer to their data. Sometimes they want to be further away. And sometimes it's just about having it in the right country. And so we definitely approach that perspective of servicing the need of the end customer and making sure that we can meet that objective. I think the other big thing about compliance is, you know, we have, you know, SOC certification on all of our data centers. So wherever the data is, it's always under a compliant framework. So that the data can be, so that we can produce those kinds of reports as well, because, you know, many customers, not only do they need data sovereignty where their data is going to be, but they have to make sure it's secure and that it's compliant from an auditable perspective. We're seeing more and more of that as well. And so, you know, many end customers will go to MSPs and look for, you know, well, where can you store my data? And so you want to choose a, you know, data location that meets the requirements of the customers, whether that's a, you know, a physical location, a logical location, or a compliant location.
Yeah. I want to bring up the issue of, you know, the big four, right? Well, soon to be the big three now, with the Kaseya purchase of Datto. All of those companies, you know, they've boasted, some more than others, you know, backup, right? In the case of Datto, they were a backup company, but you guys are not affiliated. And I think that there could be, given today's, acquisitorial movement that we seem to be in amongst that group, I sense that there's a lot of MSPs who are actually looking for vendors that aren't, that are kind of more specialist. They're pure. They're only like, you just do this. You do it well, but that's what you do. Are you sensing that in the market? And does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It does make sense. And you know, one of the things about our partner program is, you know, we wanted to make sure that we weren't competing with our partners, right? So we wanted to give them the opportunity to register deals, work with them on opportunities, and being a specialist in an area where we don't, you know, we're not putting boots on the street in certain, you know, areas where our partners are, you know, gives them more comfort in that way, that they can work with us specifically on opportunities, and we're just there to support them, right? We're that second level behind our partners from a disaster recovery perspective. And we give them that specialty, right? You're seeing that as well amongst services like for cybersecurity with, SOC operation centers. We're similar in that way for the backup business, right? Where we provide that disaster recovery element behind the scenes, supporting our partners, supporting our customers when they need that. And, in terms of the vendors, obviously we're a very large Veeam provider. You know, we're a Veeam, Platinum Cloud Service provider. We're one of the largest Veeam providers in all of North America. So we're certainly, you know, very much tied in with that vendor from what we do and in terms of what we do. But we also work with, you know, we have and have developed our own software on certain areas too. For example, with the IBM iSeries platform and the AIX platforms, like, we have a lot of specialty in the IBM's areas, given our history. We've had a lot of exposure to that. So we do have a number of customers and partners who are looking for solutions specifically who can, you know, address those point solutions for the AS400 iSeries platform, for example.
Sure.
Where they have, you know, one or two machines or maybe more than that in their environment. And they want to make sure that they work with a partner that can, you know, that can deal with that as well as all their, you know, Wintel type platforms.
This kind of a dual question, but on the question of your partner base, specifically MSPs, where are you seeing the interest? Are you getting mid-market MSPs? You mentioned AS400. You know, those tend to be, you know, not really prevalent in the smaller range of the SMB. But where are your partners generally coming from, size wise?
We have, yeah. I mean, our partners, it's a range. Certainly, you're right though. On the AS400 and iSeries side, tend to be a bit more mid-market. Industrial manufacturing, a lot of those, you know, hospitals, you know, healthcare, a lot of those in those areas. And so we do have, you know, customers in those markets in that mid-market. We also have partners that deal with small businesses where we work with partners, for example, on our appliance models. So one of the things we do that's kind of unique when we work with partners is we help partners deliver, you know, hardware as a service as part of our backup services. So we'll deliver a Veeam appliance, for example, including all the hardware, the software, and then the partner can, you know, deploy that and manage it themselves, or they can turn to us to help them on that. So it gives them a flexibility that we want to make sure we bring to the market and give those options to partners. So yeah, there's a bit of a mix.
No, that's awesome. Are you getting newer MSP, like, are you getting new MSP startups? And I don't mean that the company is necessarily new, but, you know, maybe a value-added reseller, a reactive IT company that is kind of new to managed services. Are you seeing much of that?
Yeah, absolutely. We see new partners. I mean, you know, if you're not doing backup as a service today, or you want to be able to offer backup service or disaster recovery as a service, maybe if you're new, maybe you're focused on another area initially. Maybe, you know, you're looking at, you know, help desk or managed service to start professional services for customers. And you want to make sure you're working with somebody, for example, in the backup DR space. So we have partners like that who turn to us for that specific area of expertise. And, you know, they want us to help them grow their portfolio of product, right? Service that they can offer. So then they turn to us for that aspect. And then, you know, there are other partners that are larger that, you know, maybe they're doing backup today, for example, but they've never really explored too much on the disaster recovery as a service side, the more advanced, you know, failover capabilities. We have, you know, for example, we do hot site or, you know, HA, as well as warm site availability services for, you know, higher availability and failover into a private cloud environment. So enabling customers to fail over and if they have a real disaster, right, in a shorter time frame, as opposed to, you know, just recovering the data for a backup. Right. So there are many, as I mentioned, that sort of range of solutions. So a lot of small and mid-sized MSPs might already be doing backup, but now they want to get into disaster recovery. And that's where, you know, maybe they turn to us in some cases where they want to get more advanced and they want to get, you know, into maybe some systems like that they haven't dealt with before.
Yeah. On the issue of ransomware, just as a, I'm defying my own, comments from the beginning of the program, but the issue of ransomware at the beginning of the pandemic, I remember a handful of conversations with folks in the industry who said, you know, it's really critical for the MSPs to be backing up their operational mission critical data. You know, if they can, air gapping it, making sure that they have good, clean copies that they could restore from if they get hit by successfully from a ransomware attack. What's your kind of guidance and thought process around that whole approach of internal MSP backup as a security prophylactic?
I think that, you know, MSPs, you know, they need to treat themselves like they would their customer in a lot of ways, right? So if they're expecting their customers to and take on new services and you know, buy into the disaster recovery, the backup phase, MSPs have to do it themselves, right? You want to be able to showcase the services that you sell, by doing it internally. In fact, some MSPs that we've recently signed up, they actually signed up with us internally, and then they liked the service. Then they actually started introducing it to their customers. So that definitely happens. And we've had we've had that happen very recently too. I think that's the key thing, because customers always want to know, you know, that you're eating your own dog food. You're following your own advice, right? You're doing that kind of thing yourself before they kind of take it on. So I think that's a critical element of when you're an MSP, that you can be, you know, you're along with your customers. You're riding with them.
Yeah, I think it's, eat your own dog food. Every MSP ought to be doing, at the very minimum, everything that they do for their customers on themselves. I mean, you know, that seems to me just kind of common sense. But so where I like to turn maybe to your thoughts on the future. You know, I don't know if it's good to say, I don't want to jinx anything, but you know, that kind of backup has become somewhat recession proof, right? I mean, it's been with us for so long. It's been growing. I would say, I think the industry is definitely growing. The market opportunity certainly seems to be there and to be, if not expanding, it seems to be holding its own. What is your, are you bullish, bearish on the future, let's say the next 5 years of backup as a service, you know, business continuity and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly very bullish on it. We're seeing it, you know, a lot of growth in backup. I think, you know, backup and is evolving though too, right? You're seeing more and more organizations working 24/7, you know, so you're seeing more of the need for disaster recovery as a service beyond just backup as a service, you know, where you might be thinking in the past, many customers would be satisfied with a nightly backup. Some customers that's still fine for, but many other customers are asking for, you know, I want my backup, you know, 3, 4, or 6 times a day. I want to be replicating in near real time, or I want to be replicating every hour. I want to be able to fail over within an hour or two instead of next day capability. So, you know, that's really changing things about, you know, what's expected in terms of disaster recovery and defining that. And we're seeing, and one of the things, you know, we pride ourselves on when we're talking to customers is offering that flexibility and choice. So that doesn't mean that it's a one size fits all. You either have to have all of your systems, you know, doing failing over in a disaster or none. We offer a hybrid approach. So, you know, if you have certain mission critical systems, those can be failed over more rapidly than maybe systems that are less critical that might be okay on a backup, you know, for the next day to be recovered. And so I think that is something that helps customers really address and analyze their need, and also just helps manage budget. So we want to make sure that we work with, you know, partners and with customers that, you know, in a reasonable way, because nobody's got unlimited funds, right? And so we want to make sure we offer affordable, you know, cost-effective solutions that can meet their needs and that do that. And in terms of the market, I think that's what you were asking, sort of what's the future? And I think that's the future, is moving towards disaster recovery where it makes sense. And we're seeing more and more platforms, more and more different areas to back up and protect, right? Like I mentioned earlier, the growth in Microsoft 365 is huge. We're seeing a lot of growth there. When it comes to public cloud, we now protect workloads in Azure, AWS, Google Cloud. So we're already, you know, working with the big hyperscalers. And, you know, we're also still doing a ton of work with VMware on-prem, Hyper-V on-prem. That's the model, right? Where you're going to be in a hybrid situation. I don't see the future being, you know, all one thing. You know, I don't think it's all going to be public cloud. I think we're going to be in a mix for a while. I think there's definitely going to be growth in public cloud for sure. And so we're going to see a bit of a mixture when it comes to public, private, on-premise data centers for corporations, as well as a lot of growth in SaaS services like Microsoft 365 or things like Salesforce, for example.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I really hope people pay heed to this, which is, you know, even if you're not delivering backup as a service to customers, you need to be doing it internally. All right. And the arguably the larger you are, the more important it is. But it's true for any size MSP. If you're before you even begin to deliver a managed service to a customer, you need to be backing up your data. So if there's an MSP out there who's saying, hey, Steve, I'm really interested in learning more about you guys, about your MSP partner program, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Our website's always great, storagepipe.com. And we have a partner page up on the website. That's always an easy way to reach us, and fill in the form there to talk to us about partnership. Also encourage people to email us on the website as well. There's partner links there. You can reach out. And generally, if people are looking for partnerships, we're very open to that. I would say we're not, when we look at partnerships, we're not looking for, you know, volume. We want to work with great partners. We want to look for, you know, quality relationships that we can grow together. We're the kind of organization that wants to, you know, really develop those relationships and grow customers, work with people, like I said, on marketing programs, on developing, lead gen, and looking at opportunities together, and really just being a resource for the MSPs who want to deliver, you know, more on the disaster recovery side. We view that as a really critical part of our mission, is to be responsive all the time to our customers and our partners, so that we can meet that requirement in the case of a disaster. And that goes all the way from, you know, onboarding in the initial program, as part of a partner program, all the way through to when we deliver, you know, in the case of a disaster.
No, that's amazing. Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. If you're not backing up your internal stuff, you know, better start today. So give StoragePipe a look. If you want to learn more about their partner program for managed service providers, go check out the website. Steve, thank you very much for dropping by the MSP Zone. Really, really enjoyed chatting with you, and best of luck, the ongoing luck that I'm sure you're already seeing, and you're doing great work. So keep it up.
Yeah. Thanks, Charles. Really happy to be here. And exciting to be here today to talk about DR.
Fantastic. Well, that's all for today, folks, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.